The restaurant at the end of the universe is a truly remarkable phenomenon. But not quite as remarkable, perhaps, as one small, unregarded Japanese eatery somewhere in central London. Because it was at this particular venue that Douglas Adams and Simon Brett were to have lunch and discuss these so far unchanneled figments of his imagination. Time is an illusion. Lunchtime, doubly so. And over several portions of raw fish and a nice hot cup of green tea, one of Douglas's three primitive single-celled ideas began to evolve into something rather more pan-dimensional. It was the one concerning a comedy set in multidimensional space-time.
I said, well, I think this science fiction one is the one to go with. And at that stage, I didn't know much about science fiction. And I didn't really know whether there had been comedy science fiction, but I thought there probably hadn't. And this seemed a kind of interesting idea. And right from the start, Douglas was very, very clear about how he wanted it done.
What became the radio series started out as a completely different thing, which was going to be a series of different stories, each of which concluded with the world coming to an end for a different reason. But as I was working away on the story, it needed to have some kind of perspective on it. You needed to see these events from the point of view of somebody who knew the bigger picture, so to speak. And so I thought, well, what I need is some alien creature who's here on Earth, knows this is going on, but is incognito. So who is he? What's he doing? And then I suddenly remembered this thing from years earlier. So I thought that he should be a roving reporter for The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
And thus was the concept forged. Though Douglas's script contained much that was experimental, or at least wildly far-fetched, it scored over the older, more pedestrian comedy in one important way. It was infinitely funnier. The chances of it getting on air, though, were still something in the region of 2 to the power of 269,709-1 against.
At all points, Simon was playing quite a sort of deep political game, positioning it so it could sort of get on. For instance, we were told that you could not do comedy in stereo, and here's the reason, which was that the audience wouldn't know which speaker the punchline was going to come out of. So for a little brief moment in Hitchhiker's history, it was officially a drama, just to get us through that little wrinkle in the system. There was also the issue of it not having an audience. We couldn't possibly have done it in front of an audience. As it turned out, each programme took about a month to make. I can't even remember how Simon won that particular one. Again, it was through knowing the right buttons to push at the right moment, so to speak.
It wasn't so much resistance as bewilderment, I think, from the powers that be within the BBC. And indeed, I remember the meeting where I put up the Hitchhiker outline. One of the senior producers said to me, well, is this funny? You know, you tell me. I've no idea. I was doing the reassuring trust me routine and saying, look, it will work. Let's make the pilot and it'll work.